Dear Shooter, it's always good to catch up with friends, especially when they are instructors themselves. Meet Clayton and Jen of Pivotal Defense.
Of course I'm happy.
Just checking, because I'm like getting the stink eye here.
Go do your thing, but get good at your craft first, and put your budget to things that really matter at the end of the day. You want to get good at it, and make no mistake about it, that's training. Let's face it, if you have a size 62 waist, you are not as tactical as 5'11 might think you are. And we've all seen it.
Wow. Feel the love.
There it is. And Brady chimes in. All of the sensibilities of the family.
Welcome to the Dear Shooter Podcast. I am your host, Jason Crotto. Dear Shooter is brought to you by WyoTac, empowerment through self-reliance, and Lucid Optics, on target, under budget.
All right, happy Thursday, and we have totally kicked Wilson off the podcast this week because he decided to abandon us and go on vacation for Thanksgiving. But as a treat, we've got Jen and Clayton with Pivotal Defense with us this week. And you guys are kind of doing a cross-country trip. What, do you go see family for Thanksgiving?
Yep.
How's the trip been so far?
It's been a long day today. But for the most part, pretty good.
That's it? That's all you got?
Yeah. I mean, it's been, like I said, it's been a long-ass day, man. I mean,
great.
Shit.
Going from Minnesota to Utah to the border of Arizona.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, Pivotal Defense. Tell me a little about it.
Oh, where do I want to start?
Well, the beginning.
Yeah, the dinosaurs ruled the earth.
Okay. So, no. So, yeah, we're Pivotal Defense. We're out of Minnesota. Basically, the rundown is we do permit to carry. It's kind of what we've been doing a lot of. But now I've started doing more medical stuff because I feel that's important and not a whole lot of people do it.
And Dear Shooter audience will agree with you.
Yes.
We push the medical hard.
Yes. And you and I have talked before, there's a whole lot of people don't really want to do it because it's not the quote unquote cool guy class.
Right.
But it needs to be, out there.
Hey, you don't get to be the cool guy if the red stuff is on the outside.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean,
so we do that. Private lessons, fundamental courses. Next year I'm gonna start rolling out our live fire stuff, so
okay.
Kind of a whole bag of stuff, really. She's been doing some stuff as well, so if you want to talk about that.
We've been doing some classes at 5/11 with USCCA.
Awesome.
And we've gone to some events and done that.
Yep. Working with Shoot Steel. I've been doing a lot of stuff with them lately. I just did a couple of the promo videos and recertified all them, but yeah, we're kind of all over the place. It's been a trip.
You just did a med class in Atlanta.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was a lot of fun. So Kevin Dixie, we used his Greenwood property, so it was a lot of fun. Let us out there and do that thing. And everybody that was there they were willing to learn. They came out and they knew it was medical. I mean, the day before we did pistol. And the way it was supposed to happen, we were supposed to kind of combine Chris Lyles from South Carolina Gun School, his pistol, along with my medical. It didn't work out that way. It ended up just being one pistol class, one medical class, but it was still good. There was some stuff that I threw at people that they never heard of, and then they got it wrong, and it was great to see.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because we've had Jason Colander on the show.
Okay.
And he's real big into medical. He was paramedic and he was sheriff deputy up in Alaska.
Okay.
And he pushes the medical. He's with Retin 1.
Oh yeah.
So one of the things that we talk about a lot is tourniquets. Now, this is where you tripped everybody up, was the fact of the matter is there's fake tourniquets out there.
Yep. And I dove pretty deep into that because I want to make sure people are getting the right information and not going by, we're talking life-saving equipment here, right? So what to look for with tourniquets, how to spot a fake tourniquet, and why it's bad.
Right.
Why you don't want that fake one. And it was fun to sit back and watch people's minds just like work in that process. When I had them go through that, they're like, oh shit, is this the real one? Is this the fake one? Because I gave them a few to kind of look through. And like I said, some of them got tripped up. There was one person I think that got it right, and another one's had a hard time. But okay. it's important to understand these things because, like I said, we're talking life-saving equipment. And out of the medical classes that I've taken, that's something that I've never been shown or talked about. So I just like, well, let's be that guy.
Right.
So.
No, and it's absolutely real. Now, yeah. and I've seen people, like, this is something that we were at Ballistic Summit, and Colander was telling me this. He's actually had people ask, you know, walk up to him and ask him about removing a tourniquet and running it through the dishwasher so they can reuse it.
What?
That was my reaction,
so
too.
So, first of all, you're not going to remove it unless the patient's already dead.
Yeah.
Second of all, that's just icky.
Well, that's why you wanted to run it through the dishwasher.
What? I mean, okay.
You do your dishes in there.
Wow.
So you're going to lick it first?
But it really speaks to the mindset of what most people think about when they think about medical equipment.
Right.
And that's kind of a scary thought. So doing the medical education, I'm behind you 100%.
Yeah. It's you know, then I, you know, some of the other class of with that class, I kind of go over other things too, like, you know, there's a difference too, because we're talking medical kits or even trauma kits. How many times have you heard somebody say, oh, I got a first aid kit? Okay. There's a big difference. First aid, trauma.
Yep.
Boo-boo kit, life-saving kit.
Now, something I've seen a lot of guys on the range, and tell me if you've seen this too. There's a lot of guys now that are carrying trauma kits, carrying tourniquets, but nobody has that boo-boo kit. And the fact of the matter is, out on the range, you're going to get, you get slide bite, you get, you know, somebody scraped up because they're loading magazines or whatever, they cut their thumb. But nobody has that boo-boo kit anymore because they're so fixated on the trauma kit and the tourniquet, they forget about the first aid type stuff.
Damn. You know, I think I'm one of those. I've never thought of that, actually. That's a good point, to have something, even just a small boo-boo kit in your pocket.
Right.
That's a good point.
You know, that's one of the trends that I'm starting to see lately is people get so fixated on the trauma stuff that they forget about the everyday boo-boo stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's
well, they buy it and they're fixated on it, but have they taken a class? Do they know what all the items do?
Typically,
what they're
no.
used for?
Well, that's just it. I mean, you took a medical class.
Yeah.
I mean, even to this day, I mean, you know how to, I mean, you can still run the stuff, but I mean, just the two that you went through, what was your thoughts? Because you had no medical training.
No medical training. I mean, I had first aid and CPR, but nothing like trauma or anything. So it's all very important information, especially if something does happen out on the range. You have that knowledge, for one. But if something actually happens out there in everyday life, you are going to have to, you're going to use that before you most likely will use your firearm. So it's best to even have that knowledge.
And even just touch on and piggyback of what she said, I've used it. Mm-hmm. Now, I drive truck full time as a truck driver, you know. Mm-hmm. The last two winters in Minnesota, the first one, downtown Minneapolis, I came across a car accident. First responders weren't even there. I literally took my truck and I blocked the lanes, jumped out. How many people I saw standing around like, oh, shit, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Phone, yeah. Film phone, on the cell phone.
Yeah. Phones are out. I'm like, okay. I told one to, I'm like, you go check on that guy real quick. I need to address her because she was, I could tell she was worse off. Did what I did for her. No, it was minor, but I took her taken care of. By the time first responders even showed up, they're like, who did all this? I'm like, oh, I did. And they're like, oh, cool. Thank you. That was a nice job, you know?
Right.
And then last winter, I was coming back from Wisconsin and all of a sudden, this big puff of, I'm like, I thought it was smoke. I thought it was snow, and turns out it was smoke. And what happened was this young girl, she went in the ditch, rolled her car, and it was just about ready to catch fire. And I set the brakes on my truck. I ran out, and I had to be like a little kid. I got to break the window. It was a lot of fun. So pulled her out. Now, traffic going the other way. There was another driver that stopped, but I got her out of the truck, got her out of the car, got her dog out of the car. She sat in the truck. So it's every, I tell people too, it's every day. We don't have to focus on gunshot wounds or stab wounds. It's every single day.
Right.
No, you work at a machine shop, construction site. Shit can happen.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to address it?
And I think we've all seen it.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't that long ago. I was surfing around on the web, and I think it was Facebook, Instagram, whatever. And I hope I'm giving credit where credit is due. I think it was Caleb Cossey that said this, Lone Star Medics. And he said, it's amazing how many people you see on the range with a tourniquet. How many people have a CPR card?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are letting some of the simpler stuff lapse because don't get me wrong. It's good that we're talking about trauma and we've got people focused on the tourniquets and stop the bleed and things like that, because that's what really takes lives out in the world. But what about that CPR?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Don't forget the little stuff.
No, I agree with that. I mean, me personally, like I said, there's stuff that I know, there's little stuff that I've now thinking in my head, I'm not focused on and paying attention to. Now, actually, I'm one of those people. I'm not CPR certified. It's on my list of things to do, but I mean, you are. So it's one of those things that I have to get done, and I know that. But I understand the basis of it, so I mean, I'm going to do it if I have to. But you're absolutely correct on that.
Well, and all this stuff should be, I mean, they don't exactly say you have to come back every 2 years for trauma, but I think you should, as well as CPR and first aid. The thing with CPR, these things, you don't use it, you lose it. Right. And CPR seems to change.
Yep.
Often. And I've taken it several times, and they've changed how to do it.
Right.
Yep.
You know, and I tell people this, too. I just was asked this question recently, too. Well, I don't want to carry all this, you know, this whole kit that you carry on you every day. I'm like, okay, that's fine. At minimum, a tourniquet and learn how to use the damn thing.
So, minimum. So every day I, in addition to my concealed carry, uh-huh. I carry a trauma kit, and it's on my ankle. It's the Frog Pro.
You're one of those goofy guys.
Yep.
Oh, wait, me too.
I am one of those goofy guys.
Well,
it's funny. I assume I'm going to need that before I need my gun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I do have the same ankle kit you do too, but I wear that certain occasions. Now with me every single day, I got my backpack with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
got all my shit in there, right? Yep. Now, actually taking the medical class that we did, or teaching the medical class in Atlanta, KD brought up a good point. He's like, nowadays, for some people, they're wearing, you know, the sweatpants, the joggers, they're tight to the ankle. So
Leggings,
they're not really meant for everybody. So I'm like, okay, I see your point, but you still should carry something.
But belly band.
Exactly. That's what I told him. Like belly band, other options, you know, for mm-hmm. women, purses. I mean, you can make the kits as small as you can, but have what you need in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of people who wear those fanny packs, and they wear them as purses. I mean, put them in there. Fanny pack.
You know, that was one of the things we were talking about. And we talked about this a few episodes back. We were talking about international travel. Because when you travel international, you can't carry a lot of the stuff that we would carry on an everyday basis here.
Right.
And one of the things that I saw, and I thought it was very, very smart, was they would carry, it was similar to a fanny pack. It wasn't quite a fanny pack, but they would carry it cross body.
Oh yeah.
And it was to detract from, the purse snatchers. Mm-hmm. Right. And I thought that was extremely smart in a lot of the places we were, because they were very touristy. There was a lot of people. It would have been real easy for pickpockets to run through there.
Right. I mean, there's so many different options you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you work downtown Minneapolis. I mean, you still have a med kit on you every day.
Every day.
Like, she does. So.
Oh, I'll make sure I have a med kit before I have a gun.
Exactly. You know, and there's... It all boils down to mindset, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to break it down, it's mindset. If you don't have that mindset, like, of okay, well, I'll carry this. It's like your everyday carry gun. I don't feel like carrying it today, so I'm not going to carry it, right? People do the same thing with medical kits, where my thing is you should have both on you at all times.
Well, and... again, giving credit where credit is due, Michael Bain said this at one point. If you carry a gun every day for self-defense, you are accepting the possibility somebody may get shot.
Yep.
And it may not be the person that you expect.
Exactly.
So you should at least carry a tourniquet.
Yeah, I agree with them. That's what I said. At minimum, carry a tourniquet. And if you need to carry one other thing, two tourniquets.
Right.
And learn how to use it. Get in a class.
Right.
I mean, you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I stress to a lot of people is, you know, you just don't understand. You know, how many times have you heard when the firearms, I've been shooting all these years. Or, you know what I mean? You hear the same shit.
Dude, I'm from Wyoming. Everybody here was born with a gun.
Right.
And that's been one of the biggest struggles with building my company here.
Right.
Is, you know, in Wyoming, I was born shooting.
Right.
But I've really started to see those attitudes change in probably the last 5 years. A lot of people, they're looking at the world. They're looking at things are a little crazy. And especially after you look at like the George Floyd riots.
Right.
And now people are going, maybe the cops aren't coming to save me.
Mm-hmm. What's your response time for here?
Well, it depends. I'm out of town. So it's a good hour.
Right.
Hour 20.
I mean, that's stuff people don't take into consideration. Now, you know, our son, who you guys met tonight or today, is... He's special needs. He has epilepsy, seizures. I know for a fact that depending on where they're at, 5 to 6 minutes is average response time. They're going to be at our house. Okay, a lot can happen in that 5 to 6 minutes, and people don't understand that. Especially now we're talking seizures. So, yeah, you know, we have rescue meds and stuff from that. We know how to be an administrator. But now if you flip the script on that and say it's bleeding, or, you know, massive arterial bleed, now what?
Well,
how long does it take before somebody bleeds out and dies? The average is 3 to 5 minutes.
Well, in one of the med classes that I've taken, they showed a video, and this was overseas. It was riots, whatever. But a guy had gotten shot twice. 17 seconds was what it took.
Yeah,
I mean that's how fast this stuff happens. One of the classes that I teach for self-defense, we teach, it's an 8 to 9 hour class.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that you learn in this class pertains to a situation that unfolds in 4 to 6 seconds. I totally understand where you're coming from with talking about those kinds of timelines.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, firearms too, you know, we talk about the average gunfights, what, you know, they're quick, they're easy, you know, they're quick and personal too.
Right.
So it's kind of the same concept. What are you going to do? You know, bleeding out's just as bad. And a lot of people don't know the differences between the different bleeds, arterial or venous bleed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important to know too.
Well, in all of these events, you know, realistically, and this is something that I teach in the med class that we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're not necessarily saving lives. We're buying time.
Yeah.
And that's really all you're doing.
Right.
So, and I think it's important for people to understand that because, okay, yeah, at the end of the day, you put that tourniquet on, you stop the bleed, you save their life, you're a hero. I don't deny that. But the fact of the matter is the physical act of what you did, you bought time.
Right. That's exactly it. So. Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to start. I'm actually glad I started teaching it because it's actually been a lot of fun, and I think it's important because actually we got a lot of hunters out in the area too. So that's kind of the avenue I've been really pushing that to, because how many times you hear hunters fall out of trees or, you know, whatever shit like that happens. So I've been really kind of pushing that angle, but it's been a really fun class. I'm looking forward to doing it more. Next year I'm Nebraska. We're going to be in Nebraska next year, South Carolina, down at South Carolina Gun School. All over the place. So okay. It's going to be a good year next year with doing this medical class. I'm really looking forward to that as well. And then I know she wants to start doing some more stuff as well. So,
And Jim, what are you up for? Oh, we have silence.
The 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company is an extension of the mountain lifestyle, bringing together the old and the new. Generation after generation, men and women alike all share the same passion. Enjoying it for a day, a weekend, a lifetime, or somewhere in between. No matter how long it's embraced, the combination of friends, mountains, memories, and spirits brings people together like no other. To encourage these relationships and to embrace the mountain lifestyle, and to honor the 10th Mountain soldiers who inspired our way of life, They have created a tribute spirit company in Vail, Colorado. Not only is it a tribute to the 10th Mountain Soldier, but it's also a tribute to those that enjoy the mountain lifestyle, living it fully every day. Support those that support us. And to make it easier, 10th Mountain has offered our listeners a discount. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 10% off your next order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits, whiskey worth fighting for.
So what else do you guys have coming up? You had talked to me a little bit earlier about you're going to start live fire classes.
Yep. So she wants to, I know she's been talking about doing, like an all-women's course. She really wants to do one of those. So what's your thoughts on that? Like, what's your reason behind you wanting to do that?
Especially talking to women every day and people I've known in the past who even have children or single or who've had abusers in their life or whoever it might be. They're all looking for that specific one-on-one that we have been also doing, but to get them out and doing those live fire classes. And we've been in plenty of live fire classes.
One or two.
Well, and I find a lot of times the women are more comfortable learning from a woman.
Yes,
exactly. And I'm intimidating by nature, so I get that.
He's just a big teddy bear.
I can be.
Do you step out in the snow and go, nope?
No, I make snow angels. It's fun.
No, I really think it's important, especially for us women, to be able to know how to protect ourselves in any given situation and to be able to protect our babies.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. We've been doing women's classes for the last couple of years, and women are kind of intimidated because they come into these classes and they walk into a class with somebody like me or somebody like Clayton, and they're like, they're envisioning, you know, we're out there teaching freaking Navy SEALs how to shoot and do these things. And so there's that intimidation factor. So walking in to a class led by a woman, it takes a lot of the anxiety out of it.
Yeah. And not only that, but I've heard plenty of stories of how men treat women in classes or in those certain situations and just makes them feel uncomfortable alone. So giving that, I can most likely take a class with a woman, I won't get hit on.
Well, and let's address that for a second, because I've seen that too.
Yeah. Jason hit on me in his class though.
Well, you know, you are a sexy beast.
I'm at your house.
Brandy, you might want to be worried.
Nah. I'm going to film it.
Wow.
Ammo's not cheap. Just saying.
But you're absolutely right. And one of the things that we have strived to do is to make women feel comfortable. And my approach has always been, if you're in my class, you're a student. I don't care. You can be a green alien from Mars. You're a student. And that's how I'm going to treat you. And the feedback that I've gotten is that women especially appreciate that.
Of course. I mean, don't we all want to be treated that way?
I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't care. I don't care who you are.
Right.
You're a student in my class. I'm going to teach the class, and I'm going to push you to your fullest potential, regardless of who you are, because that's what you're paying me to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's one thing I try to do with all of our classes. I want to make sure people are comfortable. I don't care experience level or who you are. You're a student. I bring that same mindset. So,
But I do agree with you. I have been in classes where, you know, people are treated different based on gender, based on ability, based on, it could be a number of things. And I think those instructors kind of have some things to learn about their students.
Now, on the other side of things, I have seen you at your women's class where they turn on you.
Oh. I mean, look at him. He's a sexy beast.
They can try. He'll lose interest. He's got ADD.
Lucky for you.
Why do you think me and him get along so well? Me too.
No, I actually did have that happen. We were doing a women's clinic. It was last year. And I walked into the pistol bay, and introduced myself and one of the women in the class turned and looked at me and she goes, "You look really familiar. Do I know you from somewhere?" And of course, my standard answer is, "Do you watch porn?"
Oh my God.
Well, you do have that position. Brokeback prone.
Yeah. We'll go there in a minute. So she turns around. She looks at me. She's like, "Maybe." And I'm going, "Crap.
Shit.
That didn't work." And then her friend pops around the corner and goes, "I might start." I don't know what to do at this point because that's always worked, right? But no, the class went great. And everybody learned something. And actually, those two have become repeat students. But no, they legit students.
Dude, one of them brought their mom to your medical class.
Right?
It's like meeting the family.
Right? Yeah, I know. Right? But no, they have become legit students, and it was because I didn't take that bait, I think.
Right. No, exactly. That's, you know, yeah. That's a long. I mean, we could keep going on that conversation as well, too. But like I said,
kind of reminds me of Jenny.
Oh God,
Jenny was in Katie's class.
Did you have one of those?
Oh my God.
Well, she's just our friend, and she doesn't have a filter.
This is the first time she's the first person I've ever seen, ever, and I mean ever seen, make Kevin Dixie speechless.
Yeah.
On the range.
Did he turn red?
I'm pretty sure he did. And I mean, there's some stuff that he doesn't even say anymore because of that class, because he had to second guess some of the things he was saying, and it was absolutely hilarious. Like, he was speechless. It was, man.
Come on me.
She's you know, you have a teachable moment, and you want to gather everybody around. So, everybody come on me. That is no longer said in the classes.
Well, it's not said by him.
Yeah, not by him, but no, me and Chris had fun with that in Atlanta. Yeah. We used it in our classes just to get him going.
Yeah.
It was funny. But yeah, Jenny is she's a trip. But
it's always going to be that few ever so often that.
That's the other aspect, too, is like if you make the classes, if you have, you can have that interaction with the students, you know your students, you can have the jokes, you can have the fun. It makes the class experience for, especially first timers, way more fun, way more enjoyable. They're more likely to come back.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. And being able to have that interaction.
Right.
And not lose your cool.
Yeah, exactly. And just play with it. You know, let it ride.
Yep.
You know, and you know, obviously Kevin, he does a great job, and it was fun to watch him kind of like, I shouldn't say this, I'm gonna second guess this. But you know he's laughing his ass off inside. But he still made the class extremely fun, and now she's one of those students who's like, "Yeah, I want to come back."
Right.
So that's what this is about, you know.
Right.
And that's why I make my classes fun. That's why I crack jokes too, and make sure we have some fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of the day, I mean, and this is something that we talked about a lot at Kevin Dixie's Train and Learn.
No.
And one of the biggest takeaways I took from that was actually something Omari said, was the fact that, look, we're teaching life and death information here.
Yeah.
And you have to treat it as such.
Absolutely.
But the fact of the matter is we're out on a range. We're teaching people how to defend themselves. We're teaching people how to protect themselves. But at the end of the day, there has to be a certain fun aspect to it, or they're not going to come back.
Yeah, you don't want it stale.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can't always be murder, death, kill all the time.
No.
You know, you got to have fun.
Right. And I'm sure, as you know, there's plenty of opportunity in a class for it to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
And usually it's at somebody's expense.
Yeah. Sometimes mine.
And a lot of times it's the instructor, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But having that and even having it is at somebody's expense, but being able to read the class and know that you can tease somebody a little bit and they're going to be okay with it.
And that's, to me, if you have a great instructor that can take those jokes and run with it and have the, you know, just kind of let it slide and just, you know, understand that, hey, this is all fun and games, but still do their job. You got a great fucking instructor there.
Well, I think a lot of that comes down to experience.
Oh, yeah.
The instructors that have been around for a while and they've kind of seen it all a little bit.
Yep.
They're the ones who are going to be able to take that and run with it.
Yeah.
I think that's a good indicator as to the experience of the instructor that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to something we talk about all the time, is how to vet your instructor.
Absolutely.
If you're not doing that, then you're kind of failing yourself as a student.
Yeah.
Being able to know that you are getting quality training from a quality instructor.
Yeah. So you're just like us. You're a student first.
Right.
You know, you're taking classes, we're taking classes, and that's what I tell, I mean, vetting your instructors, I talk about it all the time. I mean, how many people do we know that are, we all say the same thing? All of us. You know, you look at Kevin, you look at, you know, I mean, Chris, everybody says the same thing, that you vet your instructor. And mm-hmm. And even the ones that are doing it, we are students first. We're all taking classes.
Right.
And I don't care whose class it is, we're always taking something.
Right.
Because we want to be able to give that information back to people to be the best we can.
Well, yeah, we want to stay on the cutting edge because we want to give our students the best information that's out there,
mm-hmm.
the most cutting edge. But we also want to, a lot of times as instructors, and we don't really talk about this, but we'll go to classes because we want to go to another instructor and observe how they teach.
Yep.
Because maybe we can pick up something of the way that they do things, some nuance, or even just the way they explain something that we can come back and take to our students that's going to serve them better.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I told people all the time, like we host Kevin, twice a year for the last 3 years. So, and every time I take one of his classes, it's hard because I want to be a student, but at the same time, I'm watching from a student aspect and from an instructor aspect.
Yep.
It's like, shit, you got to find that balance.
Right.
But that's what I'm doing because I understand that's what I'm trying to be the best that I can and give people the best information I possibly can and stay, like you said, on the cutting edge of things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I was kind of excited because I brought Rob out this summer, and he did an advanced pistol and an unorthodox shooting position class.
Mm-hmm.
And I took both of those, and it was extremely liberating to be a student for a change.
Right.
I think we get into this, I don't want to call it a rut, but we get into this lane of being the instructor all the time.
Right.
And I think the stresses of that, it kind of wears on us a little bit because we're responsible for everything that goes on that range. So going to a class and being able to be the student and not have to be responsible for everything and be able to just go and work on our skills and have a good time, that's a vacation for us.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just saw, you know, down in Atlanta, you know, Chris taught, I taught, and going back to Kevin, he was dancing around, he was having a good old time. He was just having that fun. He's like, he even said 1,000 times, he's like, I don't have to teach. This
right?
is great.
Right.
I just have to show up and do my thing. I don't have to worry about teaching. Like, I'm the same way sometimes. Like, sometimes you just want to take that class and just be vacation and just kind of do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's fun.
So, of all the classes that you've taken, what's one that sticks with you?
Oh,
Let me put you on the spot here. And this kind of goes for everybody here at the table.
Man, I think for me, I'm going to have to say the one that really is going to stick out. Now, I've taken a lot of pistol classes, a lot of rifle classes. I'm not even going to touch on that. Back to the start of the conversation, Akil Bey's medical class. That one's going to stick out to me for a while because there was so much information,
mm-hmm.
so much I learned from that class. And a lot of the stuff that we did in that class, I'm going to give credit where credit's due, I've used in my medical class. So I'm going to go with that one.
That was a really good class. Well, since you kind of stole my answer, but
I win.
It's okay to have the same answer. It's totally cool.
Well, that one. But I really like our last rifle class that we did with Kevin Dixie.
Yeah.
It was Evolve 2 rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the first time we took Evolve 2 rifle. There's only a few of us, but I learned a lot. So that
I learned not to zero your rifle.
Yeah. I learned how to do it myself.
Oh, you can't put it on him no more.
Yep.
That means she's gonna be able to outshoot you.
She did
running on her own zero. Do that. I shut out the boys.
She did.
And you just shut up.
That's an everyday thing.
Right?
So, I mean, yeah. But if you want to go as far as a firearms class,
I'm just going with any class. Like, no, the instructor that gave you something that just sticks.
Yeah, I would say that medical class for McKeel still. Because, I mean, that was a good one. Definitely that one. So,
I'm a little biased, though, because I've only taken a lot of Kevin Dixie's classes. So.
Right. And I've taken
a few of other ones, but.
Oh, crap.
We need to expand your world.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, I want to. I want to.
Yeah, because I've taken a couple classes down at Tactical Response, which were phenomenal.
Oh, still got to do a few of those there.
Yep. I've taken Fighting Pistol down there twice, Medium Action Medical from them, and Fighting Rifle.
I'm going to do shotguns.
Shotguns on my list, vehicles on my list, forces on my list. I've taken HET1 from Chris Costa. That dude's like a spider monkey, but that was a fun class.
You know, he's a neighbor of ours.
I know he is. I'm like, probably could throw a rock at his house right now.
Close.
Yeah. No, Chris's class was good.
I could probably mortar him over the mountain.
Did you take that class in Indiana?
I did, with Ben. So that was a fun class. Now that class, he ran that line and he did a good job of it. There was a lot of us students in that class and he ran it. But yeah, that was a good class. So, I mean, I've trained with a wide range of people. Now this year, coming up, there's a few on my list that I want to hit. And
Okay.
I hear that Jason guy at WyoTex knows a thing or two about rifles. So.
Thing or two.
Actually, I'm going to have Brandy teach the class because she'll outshoot me every day.
Oh, perfect.
I taught you long range.
You taught me the mile.
Well, that's fine.
I shoot further than that now.
Even in that, 90-minute class that we had with you that one day at Train and Learn, that was memorable.
Kevin asked me for something different.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was good. So, no, you're on my list for next year for rifle. And then, obviously, long range. But I mean, I got a few other pistol ones that I want to do next year as well. But I do want to get force on force, and shotgun and vehicle done. So I got a few on my list, but I'm never gonna stop.
Yeah, Matt Mallory.
Matt Mallory That guy came force on. I still
that was
can't.
Fun.
I still can't believe he went through freaking airport with a makeshift bomb for that course.
That just blew my mind.
Like, dude, what are you thinking? Okay.
He has a badge that helps.
That's true. I forgot about that. But yeah, so I mean, that's kind of. I mean, I've got a wide range I've done, and I mean, she started kind of a
couple
of
years after you.
But. Yeah, it's been a trip.
So I guess it was the second class because Brandy and I met. I actually came down to a Lucid long range clinic, and a couple of years after that. Jason invited me down to do an IDS class. All at the time, it was still CFS, but I did a combat focus shooting class for Lucid Optics, and that was kind of the catalyst to Brandy and I started dating.
And now you're stuck with him,
right?
Mm-hmm. She has me papered.
It's not my most memorable class.
Dang.
That was an expensive class. Shit.
Well, no. So
I have another memorable one that's even more so.
Yeah, I'm getting there. But so after this, I sent out the certificates and everything, and her daughter is now, because she's now informed her daughter at this point, she was what, 19 at that point?
17.
Okay. So she's telling her daughter that, you know, she started dating and tells me and whatever, and her daughter's Facebook stalking me. And her certificate from this class is sitting on the table, and she keeps glancing back and forth between her phone and the certificate, and she looks at her and she goes, "Mom, you bagged the teacher." So fast forward a couple of years. We get married.
This is my more memorable class.
Yeah. And it was just the way the dates worked out, and I made a joke out of it that
it's not a joke.
So 2 weeks after we get married, we go through a med class with Dark Angel.
Okay.
So put her through that, and she enjoyed the shit out of that.
Not the memorable one I was going for.
About 2 weeks after this class, we get John Hirth with Tear Group.
That's the class.
And we bring him up to Wyoming to do a 5-day small unit tactics course.
Nice.
And
it was my honeymoon.
That, I
that was the honeymoon.
No, your honeymoon was Ireland. I don't want to hear it. I just,
3 years later.
COVID.
COVID. We had that whole thing with the flu.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Right. So we bring John up and we go through this class. And about day three, she is like ready to kill me, leave the class.
It was freezing at night. It was like 90-some degrees during the day. It hit low 30s at night. We walked for miles and miles and miles. John Hirth does not stop for lunch. So if I see another Cliff Bar ever in my life, I will stab you with it. Okay. I am just ticked off. I tell him how much I hate him every night on our honeymoon.
Yeah.
Night.
Every night.
Nice.
I hate you.
I
know you do. So she is ready to quit. And one of the other guys in the class decides he's done. Mm-hmm. Packs up and is driving away. And we manage to stop him and talk him into staying with the class. She sees this and goes, oh, no, if one of the boys is quitting, I'm not.
Well, can't be a pansy like that one.
So,
oh,
to this day, she is the only woman to ever complete that class.
Wow.
Wow.
You go, girl.
It's not cookies and lemonade.
I bet.
No.
Have you ever eaten dinner out of a bag?
Yes.
It's nasty.
Depends.
Right? See? Depends.
Depends. You eat that shit out of a bag with a gluten sensitivity and it'll get you.
You didn't have it. Well, that's just when we found out about your gluten sensitivity.
Oh,
now you are just gluten the intolerant.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we just ate out of bags a few weeks ago.
Yeah. I got some stuff that I ordered up. I'm like, hey, let's try these out.
Sorry, they're all like, here, put water in it. It's cereal. That ain't cereal. It's not cereal.
It's calories at that point. That's all. That's all it is.
Yep. Mean,
you just stuff it down.
Dude, I was so happy because towards the end of it, they're like, we're going to send someone to town. We're going to bring pizzas out. And I'm thinking, cool, pizza. Two, I'm going to ride along and help them carry it because that's a lot of pizzas. And three, I knew there was a rest area on the way so I could at least rinse off because I take my hair out of a French braid every night. And I get up the next morning. It was so gross. All I had to do is put the ponytail holder back in.
Oh.
Oh, nasty.
Nasty. It was because it was, what, a 7-day class?
It was five.
Five. But it was seven for us because we went early with John
yep.
so he could see the terrain. And we stayed late a little to clean up. There's no showers out there. You're in a tent.
Where is this?
So we did this in Guernsey, and actually next door to Camp Guernsey.
Guernsey.
So it's a Army National Guard.
Okay.
And
Wyoming.
Army National Guard. We were actually bordering their north training range. So to add a little bit of realism to this class, not only at night could we hear the howitzers going off, but during the day they were doing flight ops.
Oh, geez.
So we had Blackhawks and we had Chinooks flying over the top of us. And I swear to God, because we're all out in formation doing all of our things, I swear to God, these pilots are looking down going, dude, you got a lieutenant lost.
Oh, man. That's good.
So do you all do all these extreme classes like this?
I do.
You do? And you just, like, brought her along
on
your honeymoon?
I drove
right.
her to that one.
Hey, bring me next time.
Okay. Now that I know, I will.
I'll go on a honeymoon with you.
Sounds like he wants Recondo.
Oh, that was...
I'm going to skip that one.
Well, they're still talking about doing the women's Recondo.
Oh, wow.
Women only team. And it's 7 days. Okay. And you're doing small unit tactics, you're doing ambushing, you're doing night patrols, God, what else did we do? We did rappelling.
You blew stuff
we
up.
We blew
yeah,
stuff up.
I mean.
Some of it was kind of questionable when it came to ethics, permits, and legality, but it was fun.
But it was
fun. I find it interesting that Rob dressed you all up in a nice green Vietnam camo.
Yeah.
Out in the sagebrush.
We were running tiger stripes.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Nice.
And
you were the only green thing out there.
Not this year. He actually picked the right camo for this year because we had a substantial amount of rain.
Oh, man. I want to do one of those classes.
They're fun. I got in trouble, actually, from the instructors in that class because I navigated too directly and expeditiously to our hide site. Apparently, I was supposed to get them lost in the wilderness for a day and a half.
Because you don't know what you're doing.
Apparently. But I was kind of stuck in a quandary there because, you know, Rob had put me in charge of navigating and leading the team, and I couldn't really screw that up because I'd never live it down.
Right. So I hope Rob learned from that.
No.
No. Okay.
I'll still get crap for it. It's all right.
That's okay. You gave me one of those really nice scopes of his.
I did show you the transgender scope. And I will never let him live that one down either.
Nope.
So what do you guys got coming up for 2024? I mean, we're coming up on it fast. I mean, Thanksgiving Day is upon us.
Yeah.
Christmas is coming up, and then SHOT Show, and then we start our year.
Yep. I mean, like I said earlier, I got a couple classes in Nebraska and South Carolina, and actually might be even two of them in South Carolina next year. That's as far as teaching goes for travel-wise. And obviously, what we're doing in Minnesota, we're going to be doing some more stuff with 5.11. As far as taking classes, we got Kevin coming up twice again next year, and you. We got Train and Learn we're going to be at. We've got USCCA Expo we'll be at. We're going to be all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to make USCCA Expo because it always seems to fall over Ballistic Summit.
Yeah, and I don't even have any details on when or where it's even going to be right now.
I don't think anybody does.
Nope.
I don't think USCCA is deciding this at this point.
Yeah, they're working on it right now. So but that's basically the rundown for next year for us, and just keep pushing what we're doing.
All right. So the classes that you're teaching, what are they?
The medical right now is the full curriculum.
Okay.
Permit to carry for Minnesota. That's just whatever kind of our intro deal.
Okay.
I'm going to be rolling out intro to pistol next year and our private lessons thus far. So,
okay. So where do people find you?
On Instagram, pivotal_defense. Sorry. And then Facebook is Pivotal Defense. And then our website is pivotaldefensellc.com.
All right, cool.
So we're all over the place and we're active on there. And if you want us to come to you, just reach out and we'll figure it out.
Okay, cool. Well, you guys know where to find them. You know where to find us in Lucid Optics. And also, don't forget 10th Mountain Whiskey. And until next week, you guys just keep blaming the gun.